Chapter 2. Lexi and the ladies helped themselves to some pastries and stood around the coffee urn. As Ruth, Ida, Helen, and Nans chatted about the debate, Lexi was already forming her plan of attack for cleaning the place up. From her experience, the seniors loved to linger, and none of them wanted to waste a pastry. She'd brought plastic containers so she could divvy up the leftovers, and people could have containers to bring them home in rather than just wrap them in a napkin and shove them in their purses, like Ida was so fond of doing. A woman shuffled up to Ruth. She was about 5 feet tall, hair in a gray bun, blue-rimmed glasses, and a sadness hovering about her. She had a styrofoam cup of coffee in her hand.
"I saw what that Mario Blondini did to you. It was shameful," she whispered, glancing over her shoulder to make sure Mario wasn't there. "I wouldn't trust him as far as I could throw him."
This caught Lexi's attention. It sounded like the woman had prior dealings with Mario. It also caught Nans's attention. Nans leaned closer to the old lady.
"Why do you say that, Muriel?"
Muriel's face crumpled and she looked near tears.
"He's the one who falsely accused my grandson, Henry, of murder."
Nans leaned even closer.
"Murder?"
Lexi glanced at Nans. She hadn't heard of any murder. Muriel nodded.
"I knew Henry never should have gotten involved with that girl. She was bad news from the start. They're circus folk, for crying out loud. I told him it would come to no good."
"What's happened exactly?" Ida asked. Muriel sniffed.
"They met at the 4th of July picnic 2 years ago, and Henry was smitten. He never dated much, and I suppose her attentions went to his head. They married after 6 months."
"And things went bad?" Ruth asked. Muriel thought about that.
"Not really. I think they were happy for a while."
"So why did he kill her?"
Ida asked. Muriel threw her hands up in the air.
"That's the thing. He didn't. Sure, the police had some trumped-up evidence and Mario pushed for it, playing the grieving grandfather and all, while that tartlet was hanging on his arm. It was a setup. My Henry would never murder anyone."
"But the police must have had solid evidence against him." Lexi felt like she should defend the police, seeing as Jack was a detective. She was sure he would never arrest someone for murder without plenty of evidence.
"They did, but they got it wrong."
Muriel took off her glasses and wiped them on a napkin, then looked at Nans with tears clinging to her lashes, her eyes hopeful.
"Anyway, I heard that you ladies are very good at solving murders, and I was hoping you'd look into this one."
Nans, Ruth, Ida, and Helen exchanged a look. Lexi held her breath. The four ladies had their own consulting business called the Ladies Detective Agency and had solved plenty of murders in the past. They were sought after by people who thought the police weren't solving the murders of their loved ones fast enough. They were quite good at it, too. Even Jack had asked them to consult on a few cases. Lexi was itching to look into another case, but they'd never investigated one where the police had already charged the killer. Jack might not be happy about them questioning the arrest.
"I suppose it wouldn't hurt to take a look."
Nans glanced at the others, who all nodded enthusiastically. Muriel perched her glasses back on her nose, her demeanor having brightened.
"Great. Let's go back to my apartment and away from prying ears. I have some documentation from the case there that I want to show you."
Muriel's apartment was in Building C of the retirement center, where Nans, Ruth, Ida, and Helen all lived. Lexi followed along, figuring the crowd could plow through more pastries in her absence and there would be less of them to clean up. Muriel had her place decorated in 1970s senior citizen. Old maple furniture, a shag rug, doilies. It smelled a bit like day-old cabbage. Ida wrinkled her nose, but was polite enough not to say anything as they sat around the mahogany dining room table.
Would you like coffee?
Everyone nodded.
Do you have any pastries to go with it?
Ida asked. The others turned to her with incredulous looks on their faces at her rudeness. Lexi wasn't surprised. Ida liked her snacks.
I have some Lorna Doones. Will that do?
Nicely, Ida said. Muriel made the coffee and broke out some Lorna Doones, which she spread out on a crystal plate. Once they were all seated with steaming mugs on the table, napkins on their laps, and a cookie on each of their plates, Muriel opened the drawer of her doily-covered credenza and pulled out a manila folder. She placed it in the middle of the table and flipped it open. The ladies all craned their necks to glimpse the contents. Nance put on her reading glasses and rifled through the sheets. Lexi was seated across the table from Nance, and even though the papers were upside down, she recognized the papers as police reports and crime scene photos. The name of the victim, Rosa McGuire, was printed at the top. The ladies passed the papers around as they munched on the sugary shortbread cookies. Finally, Nance looked up at Muriel.
Why don't you tell us why you think your grandson is being framed?
Muriel shifted in her chair.
My Henry is a good boy. He's a doctor, sworn to protect life, not take it. And that family?
Muriel shook her head.
Well, you saw the way Mario has been acting with this election, Helen. The rest of the family is no better. I say one of them did her in, for whatever reason, and tried to frame Henry. He couldn't hurt a fly.
Good point, Helen said. Mario is shifty. He keeps replacing my signs with his. And I think he has been spying on me and somehow figured out what I was going to propose for improvements so he could do one better.
Why would her own family kill her?
Ida dunked a Lorna Doone in her coffee.
Who knows? They're unpredictable. Henry was at work that night. He came home and found her like that.
Muriel pointed to the crime scene photo, where a woman lay sprawled in a pool of blood on a kitchen floor. Lexi studied it more closely. A chair was overturned, plates and muffins still on the table. There was a spray of blood on the cabinets.
How was she killed? Nance asked.
With the very butter knife she'd used to serve butter for those muffins.
Muriel's eyes teared up.
A butter knife? Ruth asked. How can you kill someone with one of those?
It's easy, if you know the right spot.
Nance pulled the photo closer to her to inspect it.
Judging by the blood spray, I'd say they got her right in the carotid artery. Even a dull knife can do damage if it's pressed hard enough. She probably bled out fast.
Helen pulled the photo in front of her.
Doesn't look like much of a struggle. The killer must have known exactly where to press. Maybe even surprised her from behind. That would take special knowledge of the anatomy, though.
She looked up at Muriel.
Didn't you say Henry was a doctor?
Muriel squirmed in her seat.
Yes.
Nan studied Muriel over the rim of her glasses.
So, why do the police suspect Henry? If he was working, wouldn't he have an alibi? Where does he work? He works in the emergency room at St. Mary's Hospital. He was there that night, but there was some discrepancy in the timing of his alibi.
Muriel looked down at her hands in her lap.
He's a good boy. He's even teaching the inmates chess.
He's a model prisoner and gets to sit in the common area near the library for 4 hours a day because of his good behavior.
Lexi raised her left brow at Nan's. Henry wouldn't be the first murderer that was lauded for good behavior. It sounded like his alibi was shaky at best. Was this just a grandmother being blinded by love for her grandson? Or was there more to it? Nance picked up the crime scene photo.
Do you mind if I keep this?
Muriel brightened.
Not at all. Does that mean you'll take the case?
Nance glanced at the other ladies, who all gave an imperceptible nod.
We'll study it further. It's going to be difficult, though, seeing as the police already have him in custody, and we're only hearing the story secondhand from you.
Thank you.
Muriel jumped up from her seat and ran around, giving everyone awkward hugs.
I knew you might want to hear the story straight from the horse's mouth, so I've arranged a visit with Henry this afternoon. I hate to be presumptuous, but I've already mentioned to the prison guards that his great aunts might be accompanying me, so you can get in as family.
Perfect. Nance took a sip of coffee. Just let us know when, and we'll meet you there.